It is perfectly normal to want to celebrate a mother's birthday. That was why, when I was running the Catholic radio station in Lusaka, Zambia, we would make great efforts for the feast of Our Lady's birthday. Obviously, we couldn't send her a birthday card, but what we did instead was to create special programs in her honour. Some of these were live phone-ins in which people from across the diocese would talk about the important part Mary played in their lives. It was one way in which some of her children could wish their mother a happy birthday and say thank you to her for all that she had done for them. This year, Pope Benedict is doing just that when he travels to the Shrine of Our Lady in Marietzell in Austria to celebrate her feast, her birthday celebration that is also the 850th birthday of the shrine erected in her honour. Dom Augustine Measures, an English Benedictine, reflects on the importance of the feast of Our Lady's birthday. So important is this celebration of Mary's birth that even as he spoke, bells were ringing from the church outside in Bamber Bridge, Lancashire.
The feast of Our Lady's birthday is a very ancient one in the church, and that was the foundation, the reason why, when the dogma of the feast of the Immaculate Conception, later was proclaimed as a dogma, had to be on December the 8th. The church is very mathematical about these things. It had to be exactly 9 months previous to September the 8th, you see. So that explains why the Immaculate Conception is on December the 8th, because the birthday of Our Blessed Lady was on September the 8th, and that had been there long before. And why did the church make such a fuss about Our Lady's birthday so early on? Because it was very early on. Well, they seem to have venerated her, first of all, you know, not so much as the Mother of God, but as the Mother of the Church. It's what they believed, she was the Mother of God, but the thing that really attracted them, that because Jesus Christ had become one of a brother to each of us, brothers to all of us, you see, all the members of his church, come into his church by baptism, and we become brothers of Christ. Therefore, we were thereby made children of Mary, weren't we? And she has that motherly concern for us, just as she had for him. Now, this goes along with the scene, which you probably well remember, when some people came to pester our Lord and said, your mother and your brethren, your kinsfolk are outside, they want to have a word with you. And he looked round at the people that were sitting listening to him, and he said, who are my brother and sister and mother? The people who do the will of my Father in heaven. These are my brother and sister and mother. And he indicated the people round him, you see. So he makes us all his brothers and sisters, and therefore she has a motherly relationship to us. And that's what seemed to strike the church first and foremost.
Father Augustine links the celebration of Our Lady's birthday to that of her being presented in the temple.
There's a feast at the end of November, which is of great interest. It's the feast of the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, you remember that our Lord was born on Christmas Day. He was circumcised on, well, New Year's Day, 1st of January, and therefore his presentation in the temple was on February the 2nd. This is all in accordance with the rules laid down in the book of Leviticus, chapter 12. Now, that's the regulations for a boy child. For a girl child, the time between birth and the presentation in the temple is 33 days longer. So that's why that's an ancient feast too. The presentation of Our Blessed Lady in the temple is celebrated as a sort of completion of her birth and acceptance into the human race and society and so on.
Have you ever thought of Mary as a little three-year-old girl sitting on the altar steps and dancing with her feet? Yet this endearing image of the child who had become the Mother of God is very ancient and shows just how much she was already loved and venerated by the early church.
But the interesting thing about the presentation feast is we have very early evidence how much they venerated Our Blessed Lady. and that is found in a curious document called the Gospel of James. It's one of the what they call apocryphal Gospels. It's certainly not the Word of God, and you can tell that yourself quite easily by reading it. There's nothing off-colour in it at all. But you certainly find at the beginning of it, I've read this sort of thing before. Yes, you have. You've read it in St. Luke. They're trying to construct a childhood, conception and childhood for his mother, as St. Luke gives us the story of conception and childhood for Jesus, you see, the Annunciation and all that. So they have to include somehow that presentation in the temple. And I'll just give you a little snippet out of that, which says something very dear. It's not doctrinal at all. And we know that the whole document of the Gospel of James is a sort of crib. He's pirating the Gospel of St. Luke, you know. But in this point, it says they brought the child to the temple and presented her. And they seem to have got it in their heads by then. She was 3 years old. The priest received the child. They presented the child in the temple to leave her there, you see, leave her with God, and kissed her and blessed her and said, "The Lord hath magnified thy name among all generations. In thee in the latter day shall the Lord make manifest his redemption unto the children of Israel." And he made her to sit upon the third step of the altar.
Father Augustine continues, describing the way in which, from her earliest days, Mary was filled with grace.
Imagine a child sitting on the altar steps. "And the Lord put grace upon her, and she danced with her feet, and all the house of Israel loved her." And that, I think, says it all. That affection for our Blessed Lady, as is an early document, there's no doubt about it, it's in the second century, not very long after St. John's Gospel, probably. It shows that they had, whatever the doctrine may be, the people of God had a great affection for her, and that this document, unlike so many documents of the ancient world, this survived. This one, along with the Gospels, of course, and many other actually apocryphal ones which are rubbishy or heretical. But this one has this precious thing in it. She danced with her feet before the Lord, and all Israel loved her. So it says something very tender, doesn't it, about the early part of Our Lady's life, before we came to know her at the Annunciation, so to speak. And it explains something which hasn't ever been put into dogmatic terms of doctrine of any sort, but nevertheless, it's historically clear that for whatever reasons they had in their hearts, they chose to express their reasons, the people of those times, that they were very fond of her. And thank God for that. And they teach us a lesson.
And so, this week, as the Pope celebrates Mary's birthday at the Shrine of Mary at Celle, he's only doing exactly what the rest of the Church is doing across the world. He's saying, "Happy birthday."
May we ever grow more and more fond of her, because she is the sure way of getting to her Son. She will always take us to him and say, "Do whatever he tells you." So God bless us all.